Are there any actionable items as a result of this executive session or motions?
I move that the commission allocate $4,000 to hire an independent evaluator to review run number XX that we've been discussing and we had in, it's an identifier so I can't use it, and to report back to the board in an executive session the findings, and further that the review focus on the pre-hospital care in that run and the communication between EMS and the hospital emergency department. I have further restricted review from going inside of the hospital, and that's already been reviewed, and adjustments have been made by Peace Island Medical Center. That's the gist of the motion.
Did you get that, Nathan?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion.
This run has created a bunch of issues in the community, and there's been distrust, and there's lots of rumors, which are very common on this island. And I think we need a clear understanding of what happened and why it happened from this agency. I feel that the hospital already knows their issues and they've dealt with them appropriately and continue to deal with them and are working very hard to deal with that.
So this issue is raised by at least one of five commissioners, and it's always best to get to the bottom of things, in my humble opinion. This said, per a prior motion, the medical records that were submitted to us were so redacted that I don't think it's reasonable to be able to have an independent third-party evaluator assess the clinical goings-on. So I would add, as an amendment, or you can incorporate this warrant into your motion, that individual receive an unredacted report that per counsel, and this has to be reiterated, makes it not accessible to the board, number one, nor accessible via a public records request to protect the individual. I think we just have to do that.
And I appreciate your, Dr. Edwards, having talked to counsel about the ability to do that. I don't want this to become a big debate. I think we just need to look at it. I think there needs to be certain protocols in place to help in the future that we have a better understanding of what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing, and follow the protocols that we would hopefully develop from this review.
Sir Warren, you okay with my ideas as far as being included
into
your...
I'll accept it.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments, Dr. Mark? Annalisa? Rebecca? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous? Motion passes. Thank you, Warren.
You're welcome.
Any other actionable items as a result of the executive session prior to this meeting?
I would like to make a motion that we instruct the administration of San Juan EMS to establish a protocol for appropriately trained and willing EMTs to carry and use naloxone as appropriate, medically appropriate, and this to be instituted by October the 15th, 2018. To bring us into compliance with the standard of care throughout the county.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion? Well, it's Dr. Appleton's motion, so he's your justification for this motion, sir.
Pardon?
Your rationale for this motion.
The rationale is that the standard of care in this community is EMTs and Lopez and Orcas carry this. Every sheriff carries this. It is an over-the-counter drug that you can just go buy, but we need to have protocols that can be used, and yet the EMTs can carry it when they're actually doing their work. There are 73,000 victims of opiate overdoses last year, and that number is growing. All opiate users are not addicts. There's many people that take chronic pain medications, and if they happen to get sick with the flu or something and get dehydrated, they can reach a toxic level. There's many cancer patients that aren't ready to die yet but have lots of pain, and they have fentanyl patches on them, and that there's a change in their health. We have a lot of area to cover throughout the whole county. Our run times to Roach Harbor, our run times down to the Cape are extremely long. But there are EMTs, if they're carrying this, that could arrive and give it. I've used this drug for 40 years. I don't see any downside to the drug. It's not going to make the condition worse. If, in fact, you slip someone into withdrawal, they're not combative. They're usually having diarrhea and vomiting, but they're breathing and they're alive. So the rationale is there's no downside to the drug. It's a standard of care throughout the community. It's a standard of care across the nation, and we're not compliant with it.
Well, as a fellow physician, I agree. Little or no downsides other than, well, this is actually transnasal, so it's not even a venous puncture. So I agree, and it's always good to be compliant and consistent with what is perceived, starting with the courts of law, as a standard of care. So I'm going to vote affirmatively. Any other comments?
I do. Nathan just pointed out to me that I skipped one of my sentences, not one of my sentences, a clause. That appropriately trained and willing EMTs and paramedics can carry this.
Chief Warden, what's your perspective?
We do carry Narcan on our rigs and our ambulances and on our sprint rigs. Narcan is carried on the rigs, and our people are trained on that with protocols. When this initial ask for Narcan be brought up to the big county by, it was suggested that we give Narcan to our individual EMTs that they carry on their person. I've seen Narcan, and I'm sure Dr. Appleton, you've seen it too, where the patients do become combative. And it is, I don't want my EMTs to be alone with a patient, give this patient Narcan, and now they become combative. Other areas have trained their people to use bag valve masking and oxygenate these people. And until the aid unit gets there with the appropriate people there, so in case these people come combative, that they are that they're safe. And responder safety is something that we have to be looking for. It was suggested to Dr. Sullivan and the group that what we should do with this allotment of Narcan is to set it up so that the public can get this, so that friends and family of those that are using opiates and narcotics have access to this medication, and along with the police officers and the sheriffs on our islands. But as far as Narcan being on our being compliant, it is on our rigs, and it is both ambulance and our spare rigs.
So if an EMT doesn't have a rig with them, but they receive a call and go in their vehicle to a scene of someone that has pinpoint pupils, respiratory rate of 6, we wouldn't know what the saturations were, but it's highly likely that's either Narcan or midbrain stroke that you're not going to survive anyway. They don't have a tool
And if, or if they go out and buy it over the counter themselves and carry it with them and use it, we have no protocol. They haven't been trained in the protocol of how to do it as a single person. The drug takes, the way we're going to, it would be administered, takes 15 to 20 seconds. And in my experience of treating thousands of these, I grew up in Detroit and practiced in Detroit for 15 years. These people aren't attacking people. They're agitated. They're salivating. They're, if they have a bad reaction at all, 99% don't have a bad reaction. 99.9%. It's just the chronic IV drug abuser that might have that reaction. There's very little risk, but the risk to the community is great, and the risk to this agency is great in that the rest of the county, the standard of care across the rest of the county is these providers have it. They have it with them. So I don't really see the risk that you see. And I think we should be meeting the standard of care throughout this community. And I would bet that now 80% of the communities across the country are doing this. And I don't want to be the last 20% of the standard of care and have someone die because we didn't take this step.
We take this very seriously. And I'd have to look at the at our training. I'm sure that we have had the Narcan training through our EMS online. I'd have to look at our BLS protocols to see if that has indeed been updated. Since our BLS protocols haven't been updated for 7 years, if that is the case. However, having said that, the question was that if we would be interested in the group buy on this for our people to carry it, and we do carry it. We are trained in it. And I didn't want our people to carry it on their person, so that way when we do get that one in 100, one in 500 patient that wakes up and becomes combative, I don't want our people to be alone with this patient and the patient becomes combative, and that is a safety issue. We do have the facilities and the ways to maintain the airway and to rescue breathe for these patients, which a lot of other agencies do instead of using Narcan. I think our BLS providers need to use it if they're on the ambulance when they're working as a partner. So I do agree with that.
I'd like to make another comment, again with my physician's hat on. If you're just one-on-one with a patient and you're relying on bagging the individual with an oral airway, if you have someone who's Pickwickian, sometimes you just can't adequately ventilate them. The Narcan would save that individual. If EMTs don't drop tubes. So, it's bagging them and that's it. So I think, again, the risk benefits Farley are in the direction of the utilization of Narcan for our EMTs. At least they know what the heck they're doing. They're going through protocols, let alone the reference that Warren made for lay folks who happen to be around folks who like to use that stuff. They're at risk for the same sort of so-called combative patient as well. And yet, that's usually customary out there too.
And before the FDA made this an over-the-counter drug, they addressed your concerns, and the Food and Drug Administration and the authorities there approved it to be used by lay people. And EMTs are, as far as airways go, are in diagnosis, certainly are beyond laypeople. So I don't see the downside that you see, and I see definite downsides that we're not doing.
Again, I have to look at the numbers. Our numbers that I believe last year or the year before that when this request came out, I think we used Narcan, which Sean can help me out here, maybe three times.
I think we had two confirmed narcotic overdoses last year. I think we used Narcan more than that, but I think we had two overdoses.
So, as long as the commission has heard my concern and that they realize the safety issue, we can make Narcan available for every EMT that wants to carry it. However, I think the better bang for our buck would be that friends and family who have for this Narcan that's out there that was on this gift to the county, that be given to the friends and family of those that use, so and police officers on this island, so they have that available. We have the Narcan available. We can do it. But I want to make sure that EMT paramedic safety is the hallmark of this decision.
Well, hopefully we can provide for both lay folks out there who are associated with users and the EMTs as well. Is that possible, Jerry, with the amount that we've received on this grant?
I don't think that we haven't participated in this, but we have the Narcan available, and we can, whatever we don't have, we can make it available for those that want to carry it in their cars to take it with them.
Thank you, sir.
Just one more point. You said bang for the buck. Actually, there's no buck involved because the grant, the Narcan comes to the agency outside of your budget, outside of our budget. So there is no buck involved. I know that you didn't use it that way, but I don't want the public to think that this is going to cost money. It's a countywide grant, and it's available for free.
I don't know if we're eligible for that anymore. I don't know.
Any other comments from you, Chief Martin?
I want to make sure that the safety of our people is paramount, and us using it and giving it to friends and families of the users, giving it to the police officers. That is where there is more.
They took away bang for the buck.
Yeah. That is where the true power of Narcan in the community is good. But I am able to make this available.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Just to be clear, available to both the EMTs that desire to carry it as well as family, friends, and
community. I can only distribute it to my EMTs. I can't distribute it to friends, to family. I can only distribute it to my EMTs.
That's a county decision to distribute it to friends and family.
It's
a county decision. It's the county grant, but the grant is narrow enough that they haven't decided. The grant doesn't allow it to be distributed. Otherwise, we could talk to the county about distributing it to friends and family. But I don't see the downside of EMTs having it. The FDA doesn't see the downside of lay public having it.
Okay, in the absence of further comments, I'd like to call for a vote. It'll be a very long meeting. Annalisa, Rebecca, any more to say? Very good. Call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 And Dr. Mark, did you say aye?
I
sir?
Did.
Yeah. Unanimous?
I've said aye.
Aye.
Aye, aye.
I make a motion that we instruct San Juan EMS Administration to establish an ongoing program to study the effects of long shift work via questionnaire and to coordinate with Lopez Island and Orcas Island EMS on the programs that they're using. I bring this up for several reasons. One, it's budgetary. It's very difficult to be a paramedic on this island and get vacations. When you really want a vacation is when the island is so busy. And then they back up each other, and they work long shifts. During the winter, they get more rest. But the question here is if they're too tired, and there's studies by the Navy and lots of EMS studies on this, that we need to start thinking, do we need to add yet another paramedic? The chief has said that he would be leaving, and so we'd be another paramedic down. We do have people that I think are very capable of becoming paramedics, and I would hate to lose them through just attrition, that they would go someplace else when they're island people and they want to enhance their career. I also think that it's very important that we know that people aren't too tired to be doing their work. I've done 24-hour shifts, and they're difficult. I've done a 36-hour shift, and I have to tell you, I did that when I was in my 30s, and I wouldn't do it again in my 30s. And I think we need to look at that and to let our paramedics know that we're concerned about their health, and if they're not getting enough sleep or they're too fatigued, we are going to support them by changing our staffing. And Lopez and Orcas are doing this, and I think it's important for our community to understand that our paramedics are able to say, I'm tired, I need help.
Thank you, Warren. You actually extended, you know, way beyond your motion, so
please reiterate. I'm sorry, that was my, okay, my motion is...
Well, you need a second to even consider
okay,
it.
I'm sorry.
Can you reiterate your motion, sir?
Instruct San Juan EMS Administration to establish an ongoing program to study the effects of long shift work, that this program should be via questionnaire, and it's to coordinate with Lopez and Orcas so that we get some statistics about when we need to make sure that our paramedics get rest, period, and that we monitor the effects of this study.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Don't we do that already?
Yes, we do. We have, and for years, this department has done a fatigue assessment of our paramedics and EMTs. We have the model that our paramedics follow is a one that they are they respond from home. They are able to eat at home, sleep at home, have dinner with their families at home. If they're on a long shift, over a 24-hour shift, they're able to sleep in if they've been up during the night. So this is a different model than you'd see at Lopez or Orcas, where they are responding and stationed at the fire station. And they do fill out a fatigue assessment form, and they do have the ability, and they have that if they've been on calls that they are feeling fatigued, or the call has or they've been up at night, they do call the other ones and have them take over their calls. So we do that. This is also a bargaining contractual negotiated benefit that the union and management bargains with.
Not, the benefit is the home stay. That's the benefit that's negotiated. It's not, that doesn't talk about fatigue. A couple of days ago, there were 11 runs. So both paramedics were quite busy all day long and all night long. Some days there's one run, and they do get sleep, and I'm happy for that. But the fact is, and I've worked with all of these paramedics and seen them in the middle of the night, and you know, they're tired at times. And I would, as a consumer and a representative of the community, I think we need to look at that. And as a commissioner, I think we need to have those numbers. I have, in the 6 months I've been here, I have never seen those numbers brought up and those studies brought to us. And I think we need to work harder at it.
Is there any particular study that, or questions or questionnaire that you want us to ask?
I would use the ones that the county is using over on Orcas and Lopez. And I would coordinate it so if in fact we have limited numbers that we can combine the numbers to see countywide if this fatigue is an issue and countywide to see if we can develop different programs to alleviate it. If we went countywide and hired two more paramedics that could substitute in during the summer when our paramedics are so busy. And so it's a budgetary and it's a long-range planning issue for me.
So my experience having served with the negotiating committee with the paramedics union for years, frankly, the major consideration were consecutive duty cycles, hours on call, how many calls you field in 24 hours or 12 hours. And that was thoroughly investigated at that point in time. That was a year and a half ago. And certainly Dr. Sullivan, our MPT, was involved intimately, and he okayed it. So we went with it. Matter of fact, we had a reversal midstream in June a couple of years ago because he made some restrictions on it, and the union, the paramedics, and admin adhered to that. I don't argue with asking for that to be revisited. More importantly, present it to the board so we know, you know, that indeed you're doing what you say you're doing, and you have an ongoing program. I don't think we need this motion to compel you to do that. Certainly, a request should suffice. I'm personally very much opposed to micromanaging what you do, and if you're already doing it, you don't need to be hearing from us.
We review this. Talk about their fatigue. We talk about what they're needing, how we're doing. We had a call here 2 weeks ago that we gave, because of the call, we gave the medic who was involved in it extended time off because of that, because we recognized and saw the fatigue. And this is one of the things, again, that, in fact, we are going to be we have a union negotiation starting tomorrow, and this is one of the things that we will be discussing.
Any further comments, Dr. Mark?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Weishan, if you're willing, what's your perspective regarding this resolution?
So we have a fatigue assessment that we designed when we were CAME certified that the rest of the county has used. So it's actually Lopez and Orcas are using our form already. We all support each other incredibly well. So the call that Chief Martin just referred to when we needed, I got a phone call at 4:20 in the morning that said, I need you to take call. We've just had a serious call and need a timeout. And I immediately took call. And like Chief Martin said, you know, we rearranged the schedule so that everybody was covered. I've been with this agency 25 years, I've been a medic for 20 years. I've never had somebody say no when I needed a timeout. We have some mandatory timeouts, so if you have death of a personal friend, family member, or traumatic call, you're immediately timed out, and everybody knows that. So in that instance, a couple of weeks ago, that was the case. So I'm not opposed to looking at it, but we're really good at managing our fatigue. You know, sure, sometimes you're tired, but we are double covered 238 days a year. We have double medic coverage. And so if I'm on a call, my next call Kyle will take, and then the next one I'll take. So, you know, we're very good at making sure that we're getting sleep. And if something comes up and we're running all night and need another medic to step in, another medic will step in. We also do have Mick Price is our per diem medic, so he comes over and covers extra shifts, so it isn't just Jerry and the four of us. We have a backup medic that's filling in. I love the idea of, Jerry was just talking about, Chief Martin was just talking about, you know, looking at what we'll need in the future and when we would like to send another medic to through the Medic One program. And I 100% support looking at that and having that forward thinking and making sure that we're planning well in the future. I feel really good about what we do. I think we manage, I think that we're well managed, and yes, sometimes we're tired and sleepy, but I don't think that anybody's working to the point where they're not safe.
Thank you, Weishan. Any further comments or questions from the board?
Just 1 second. I'm happy to write. I'm doing math, and it's...
It does seem to me that if this could be a tool that the board could use to assess the budget in terms of bringing on more staffing, that would be really important.
So, Lisa, you said 228 days a year, you're double covered?
238,
so that means 126 days a year.
We're not.
We're single covered, which I think is the point here. Do we need to, are they getting so fatigued that we need to expend the money to hire yet another paramedic? And that's a budgetary item to me, and I'd like to see those numbers.
Sure.
Because the population on this island during the summer is so much bigger. The shoulders of the visit, the shoulder season is getting much broader. There were 400 people getting on the ferry as I came off a couple days ago that were walk-ons. I mean, it's amazing the amount of activity that goes on here during the summer. And I think we just need to know this. And I think you guys do a great job, but there's times when I look in the eyes and they're tired. And statistics show that after 12 or 14 hours, the quality of the work starts to fall off. Unfortunately, on an island of this size, it's difficult. And the way the number of people change on the seasons, it's very, very difficult to staff to those numbers and still maintain a viable and sustainable program, budgetary-wise. And I think this is important to do that. And I would also suggest that that be a regular, every third Wednesday report from EMS as to what the studies are doing. But I would also ask the whole that we combine with the rest of the island and do a very similar study. So if we have to study numbers, we don't have any variance in the questions, because then the data is skewed. It should be the same questionnaire applied at the same time so that we can actually get true statistically significant numbers, so we can actually budget on a fact.
Are you willing to do that, Jerry?
Basis.
Yes, and we do check that out, and we haven't gotten together with the other islands. We have talked about this, but we haven't done this. And if you review back in the last meeting or two, I approached the board about asking about more EMTs, and because our backbone of this organization is our volunteers, and we're at the point where if we had round-the-clock EMTs here, that would take up the load from the paramedics, because our call load is part BLS, part ALS, and if we're responding BLS people on BLS calls, that would take the burden away from the paramedics having to go on those calls. And that would help us on the BLS calls. It would help us on, it helped the volunteers so that they wouldn't be woken up at night for the transport to go down to Island Air or airlift from the hospital. And if you're wanting to probably to do the most for this organization, because we're at that pinnacle point where we're at 1,200 calls a year, and are our patients being transported at night can be done by our BLS people, and our ALS folk wouldn't have to be responding on these calls.
So, I agree with that, but that's beside the point.
Well, it's the same point. It's the same point because we're talking about call fatigue and then the paramedics going in on calls.
Right, we're talking about budget issues with EMTs and paramedics.
And I brought this up at the last meetings that about budgeting extra EMTs for the shifts.
So I have one more quick question. So the fatigue studies we do here, we have a different model than Orcas and Lopez, so the numbers aren't going to jive, it sounds like, because they have a different model that they work off of.
I don't know what data we could get off this fatigue forms that we're using, because this fatigue form basically asks if you go down the list and if you're checking the boxes honestly and you say, okay, this comes out that I'm fatigued, I don't know how you compare those with the other islands and other calls. I think that this would call for a whole special questionnaire, a fatigue type one that I don't think the forms that we are using in the county would suffice.
So another question, would you reevaluate what you have in the way of forms with your staff, paramedics, and EMTs? And if you feel there is a need to change that form or substitute it out with another one, would you do that?
Yeah, we can have the staff look at that.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
I thought we weren't going to vote. I thought we didn't need a motion.
We have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely, with a second. So we've had a discussion, and now we're calling for a vote.
So the motion is to establish an ongoing program?
Instruct San Juan EMS Administration to establish an ongoing program to study the effects of long-term shift work via questionnaire and coordinate with Lopez and Orcas EMS on programs that will monitor the effects of this and report back to the board. Yeah, period. Monitor the effects and then new paragraph and with reports to the board. My arguments were budget and standard of care and quality issues.
Do we need to modify that based on the chief saying that he has a system in place, but that we'd like more information as well?
It's still a motion, then. I mean, you can vote the motion down and instruct the chief to come back and tell us.
You can either restrike the motion at the encouragement of Annalisa, or Annalisa, you can amend Warren's motion. We can vote on that, and then we can vote on the amended motion if your amendment passes. Either way.
Are we, so I'll just amend the motion then to say that generally we would like the information from the study that the chief has to be presented to the board so we can assess.
I thought I said that in my motion, but that's fine.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Well, first of all, before I cast a vote for the amendment, I'd like to hear what the Warren's motion and as amended by your amendment, what it sounds like, because there's...
I think there's just an implication in that Warren's motion that says that it sounds like from listening to the chief that this is already happening.
Right.
And so this, yeah, I think the
motion. Well, the motion basically
fine.
Says, you know, start a program. Well, the program's already
It's already
been running.
Started.
Can it be modified a little bit, a massage, you know? Again, does that require a motion and a vote of the board? No, I mean, Jerry's already consented to it, so I think it's, in a way, a moot point, but if the board feels we have to push this forward or just call for the vote,
as long as the chief is willing to share that data with us at monthly meetings, I will withdraw the motion if he'll make that commitment. And I need to see the form to make sure that it meets the criteria of fatigue studies.
Sorry, folks.
Jeez, Carl.
Well, that was a hot topic.
I was getting sleepy, so. Okay, thank you, Dr. Appleton.
I apologize.
So I'm still going to lean forward.
Yes, I know.
I'm
that's
so
why I'm taking it away.
My voice usually carries too far. So the motion's withdrawn. It's a moot point. Let's move on.
Well, I didn't withdraw the motion. Only I was conditioned on the chief agreeing, one, to get to see the fatigue study that they're doing, and two, that we get monthly reports on the results of fatigue studies. So if we see annual variations or monthly variations or seasonal variations, et cetera, that we can respond to those appropriately.
I will have staff send out the form for you guys tomorrow, and I will report on this monthly.
Perfect. Okay, so we are 45
minutes.
I have
another motion.
You have another motion?
Uh-huh. Motion that San Juan Public Hospital District Number 1 Commission establish an ongoing committee to monitor the educational component of San Juan Island EMS. And that this committee can be composed of two commissioners and two lay people with educational background to make sure that the education that we're doing is the best that it can be.
Do you hear a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion?
I would say that we already have oversight by an MPD and by a future supervising physician, and our education requirements have been approved by DOH. So I guess I don't understand what the addition of a committee would do.
One, there's budgetary issues, and two, we had an ad hoc committee to look at the education. It took five meetings with five people and the state actually had to go through a process to use an enabling statute and get an attorney general opinion to solidify that they would basically forgive the lack of what we thought was appropriate education, and that we took us over 14 months to find out that the education was at peril. It caused a fair amount of argument, innuendo, and posturing among many people. And I think that this board should have an ongoing committee to monitor that until we make sure that we are totally in compliance and our education is appropriate. I just don't want to go through it again and trying to figure out 15 months worth of education, whether or not it was appropriate or not. I spent an amazing amount of time, as Jerry did, and you did, and I did, as Wayshawn did, as Pam did, as Nathan did. We probably have hundreds of hours in that process, and I think that we should take that and look at that and have recommendations from a committee that just studies that issue. And I would like to have some lay educators on that committee that deal with education on an ongoing basis to see what we're doing really meets what the public thinks we're doing and what the public should expect we're doing.
Well, I think the parameters are already out there. And they're not only out there at the level of the MPD, Dr. Sullivan, but also the potential for a supervising physician. I mean, you have to put some reliance on those folks. And their backup is the State Department of Health, et cetera. And there are also, you know, so many checks and balances and so many pathways, OTEP versus CME. Our folks have never been out of compliance. It was thought at one time that they were. That wasn't the case. So I think to come up with a special committee and calling yet again on folks from our community to do, you know, payless work for an endeavor that really is not necessary, you know, I'm going to vote against this motion. Any other comments?
Again, I'd like to tap Weishan for her perspective as a training officer.
So we were no one in this agency was out of compliance, has not been out of compliance. There were questions that were brought to the state, and the state verified that everyone has been compliant and is compliant. The state has very specific parameters that have to be met, although it's hard to figure out exactly what those are in some areas. And then all of us are nationally registered paramedics, which is the state has a certification that's an every 3-year certification. National registry is every 2 years. The national registry requirements are very, very clear. Everyone meets those every 2 years. And I think all of it was semantics and lack of having a supervising physician that created the problem that is now verified and sorted out. So, I mean, I would have to say I think that it's overkill to have a committee and have more work done. I would agree with that. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, we exceed what's required in every area.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the board?
Well, I mean, the problem has been a challenge of communication with EMS and the lack of having a supervising physician. We're going on the 8th month here without that. So, I mean, to me, it seems a committee of some sort having oversight so we don't run into this situation again, because as Commissioner Appleton said, there has been a lot of energy and time put towards a situation that it seems could have been avoided. Do you have any thoughts on that, Chief, on, you know, how close you are to having a supervising position?
Yes, in fact, I was going to save that for my report, is that we have extended a contract and offered to a physician who is a ER physician part-time at the at Peace Island. She is a ER physician at Port Townsend. And so I have extended a contract. She has tentatively agreed to be in our supervising position, and so she is reviewing the contract right now.
So the answer is no, we don't have one yet. We have an offer out to Olivia. I talked with Olivia last week. She had some reservations, and I'm not sure about the contract. And some of her reservations were around communication and all of this kerfuffle stuff that goes on in the community and rumors and et cetera, et cetera. And, but I think she would be great. She's not board certified yet, but she is residency trained, but hasn't met the time requirements of being out of residency to take her boards. I don't see that as a problem for me. And I would hope she does sign, and I would hope that her being here can change a lot of what I see are not only substantive issues, but cultural issues in this community. And I ask her to look at it very hard and think about it.
So I think, given that possibility, that we can fill in some of the voids and the gaps that we have suffered historically with this individual joining us, this motion is premature. If it's necessary down the road, I would ask Dr. Appleton to bring it up again and we can revisit it. But at this point in time, again, I'm going to vote no for the reason I've stated.
You're going to vote no or table to a time unspecified? That's a difference.
Well, you can table it. I can't.
I'll table it to a time unspecified.
Okay. Very good. All in favor of tabling the motion at hand?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I made the
motion. Very good. Okay. Motion's tabled. Thank you, Warren. Any other motions?
No, I ran out of paper.
Well, I have some extra here.
Yeah. Don't hit me.
You can't judge it. It's mine.
The first thing on the agenda.